You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome to Friday. And yes, it is great to be home. Thanks so much for spending the afternoon with us. We have been in Nashville all week, as you all know, and we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to spend a lot of time taking phone calls and getting your reaction. But before we do that, in case you missed anything in Nashville, Jimbo spent Monday talking about, or maybe he wasn't talking about, Bob Petrino. He seemed to try to avoid that subject, but it came up anyway. Tuesday, it was all about the man of the moment, Kirby Smart, defending the Dogs against recent allegations, and talked a lot about what's ahead. Wednesday, it was all about the GOAT, talking about the QB situation, talking about trips to Italy, driving Ferraris, carrot cake. Not a normal day for Nick Saban. Thursday, it was all about the new hot coach in the SEC, Josh Heupel. He knocked Saban off last year. Who is next? At the end of Thursday's show, you almost had to be there, but if you weren't, this was Michael Bratton from That SEC Podcast.
Like I said, Paul, it's the decaying dynasty. He's got the worst coaching staff he's ever assembled.
Oh.
And that's not me saying it. That's our buddy Dave Bartu, Matrix Analytical, charts all these, helps coaching searches. Worst coaching staff. He doesn't have a single assistant, Paul, or coordinator ranked as the top two in his position in the entire SEC. Nick Saban's lost his fastball. It's evident by what we've seen on the field. It's evident by what they got at the quarterback position. His coordinator hires. The decade of dominance is over. I've been telling you for months, Paul, LSU's the pick in the West. They're going to be the pick tomorrow. You'll see. And I think even, though I have no confidence in Jimbo Fisher whatsoever, I do like the fact that he added Bobby Petrino. So I think A&M's going to be better than Alabama.
Well, I kept saying all week I thought LSU would not be the pick to win the SEC West. The Georgia would be on one side, Alabama would be on the other. But Michael Bratton told me I was wrong. Well, he was wrong. This is what it looks like. Alabama has been chosen as the SEC West selection. Georgia, of course, on the East. It's LSU, A&M, Ole Miss. All of them getting one. A&M and Ole Miss getting one first place votes. Georgia dominating on the other side. Tennessee, South Carolina, and Kentucky. Well, Vandy was picked fifth, but did get a couple of first place votes. And Georgia is the pick over Alabama. Not close. This is interesting, to say the least. And you have LSU next with a couple of votes. But the media narrative all week, LSU is going to take over, and that is where we are. So we'll get some reaction to what Bratton had to say and everything else. We have a lot of time to kick back, and I realize it's frustrating when you're great callers not to be able to get in, but we just this is the most unique event of the year. It is jam-packed. The schedule does not leave much opportunity, but today we don't have that. So we will start with your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We begin with John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, it was great to see you gobsmacked by Michael Bratton.
John, you always teach your parent, your children that, and I was taught if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Oh, speaking of that, the welcome wagon that Jim rolled out for you was pretty impressive, too.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
I bet you you kept up all night thinking about him and Jeff and who's the other one, that his other friend? I can't think of it. Brando, that don't like you. Hey, Paul, before I get to Northwestern San Diego State, just because I know you're what we would call a musicophile, music lover, Tony Bennett passed away. Did you notice that?
I did see that earlier today, and he will certainly be remembered. I think he was, 96 years old?
He's going to be 97 next month, yeah.
Truly picked up. In the pantheon of pop music, one of the most iconic singers. I first heard him when I was a kid with his famous "I Left My Heart in San Francisco."
He became
more popular as he got older. He became very young singers all wanted to do duets with him.
Yeah, I try to tell my daughter all about it, and because I'm so much your age, and. She had no clue, and I said, well, his last performance with Lady Gaga. Oh, that guy. Yeah, I know who that is now. It's like yesterday was the 54th anniversary of the moon landing, and I tried to tell her, Buzz Aldrin's still alive. And she said, Buzz Lightyear? I said, no, Buzz Aldrin, the guy who graduated third in his class, the one that got a PhD from MIT, that Buzz Aldrin. She said, I have no clue, Dad. So I said, moving on.
Well, but anyway, on that front, because it is, I think, different world in 1969.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about you, Randy, as a young person, if there had ever been nor has there ever been anything more significant from a just golly, I can't believe this is happening. And now it doesn't sound, I think Elon Musk went to the moon this morning, but it was just, this entire country literally stopped on that Sunday afternoon, and especially that night when we saw when Neil Armstrong walk on the moon.
Even more incredible, Buzz at 93 just remarried this year, so hats off to Buzz.
That's a bucket list.
I know.
And by the way, one more thing. I to this day, I've always felt badly. So there's three guys that go up to the moon. There's Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and one guy had to stay behind, Michael Collins. Can you imagine when they call all three of those guys in? Okay, Neil, you're the commander. Buzz, Michael, you stay behind. You don't get to go to the. I think he eventually did, but That had to be one of those days where you literally bite through your lip.
It's kind of like Randy being told you have to stay behind the camera.
Yeah. Very similar.
Yeah, pretty much we told him today, Randy, you're still behind the camera. He was sitting here he was sitting in the chair, and I hated to break the news to him, but.
What arrogance. Hey, quickly on San Diego State, it looks like they had to put their hat in their hand, their tail between their legs, and crawl back to the Mountain West. What's that say about both the Big 12 and Pac-12 that they're just not into them?
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. I've been watching the Pac-12 media days today, and it could be a pilot for a sitcom. Listening to George Kliavkoff talk about what a great position they are currently in. Phil is in Nashville. Phil, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I hope hope you guys had a good time while you was here in Nashville.
We did.
And stuff. Paul, the guy that you had on your show made that remark about Alabama. Apparently, he went to the wrong place and got some bad hot chicken, because that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I said, only thing he just did is put more wood to the fire for Nick Saban, because I got a gut feeling. Whatever Nick Saban, those guys, Alabama don't go to the national championship one year, they come back strong the next. I'll just hang up and leave it at that.
Well, you're right. That settles that, Randy. count on the Tide to be back. They passed the first perception test today. I frankly think Nick Saban may have been hoping that they were not picked to win so he could take something into the locker room. We'll take a break. Your phone calls continue here. It is Friday afternoon and a lot happening. We put out the tweet a minute ago. What's the most impactful thing you heard this week at SEC Media Days? We're taking that course on social media and, of course, on the phones.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So, Big 12 is in Vegas. Kliakoff. Big 12 is not in Vegas. But they wish they were. Pac-12 is there, though. But they wish they weren't. Kliakoff standing firm on the media rights timetable. Downplays realignment concerns. He told Heather this earlier.
Well, it's a combination of knowing where our media rights are going to land and being very confident about that and understanding the commitment that all of our schools have had for 12 months to each other, despite all the news articles about people leaving our conference. And I would say, you know, the most speculation has obviously been about around Colorado. And I would just direct people to the interview in the Denver Post earlier this week that Chancellor DeStefano did.
Wow. We'll talk to Heather about what he said, and again, you can fool some of the people some of the time. We'll talk to Heather in a few minutes. Let's get back to the calls, and Bodie is up next. Good afternoon. Hey, Bodie.
Hey.
Bodie apparently did not understand the drill there. Let's check in with Logan, who is in Kentucky. Hello, Logan.
Hi, Paul.
Hi there. What's up, buddy?
Talk about, like, Nick Saban and give your take. Like, is he on the – do you think he'll, like, drop down, like, his legacy? I know you said on ESPN or Get Up the other morning that you think he's done. Is that correct?
No, that is not correct. wow, things get misinterpreted. A couple of things I would like to say, Logan. And there's been a lot of extrapolation from my remarks to specific questions, but this is how I really feel on a program that I have a little more freedom to express my opinion in whole sentences. Nick Saban's legacy is not in question. It doesn't make any difference what happens from here to the final day that he coaches. His legacy is intact in terms of his role among the greatest, if not the greatest coach in college football history. Whenever he stops, he will be that. It doesn't mean, Bear Bryant was the greatest coach in college football history when he retired. He's now considered behind Saban. So these things can change in due time, but when Saban leaves the game, he will be the greatest of all time, whether he has 7 national championships, 8 or 9 or whatever. What could change is his standing as the most dominant and best coach in the game. That's what I was talking about on that ESPN conversation, Logan. I was talking about how, in my opinion, Kirby Smart right now sits in that position. He may not be there if he loses to Nick Saban this year, but these things are always changed. So that's really the best way to define that. Saban is not in decline. his program is still among the three best programs in the game, but that doesn't guarantee that will hold up, and nor does it guarantee that because he has won all these titles, he will win another one. There's a cliche about not betting against Nick Saban, and it's not only a cliche, it's a smart thing to follow. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Doug is up next in Tulsa. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. It's great to talk to you. Hope you're having a wonderful day. I know
thank
I
you.
Am here in Tulsa. Hey, OU just landed the number one running back in the nation, Taylor Tanum, out of Texas, number one rated running back for the 2024 class. It was between OU and USC, so take that, Lincoln. Our recruiting's red hot right now, man. We're going to have another top five class. We're coming. And so I just want to say to all these naysayers that thinks that OU's going to struggle in the SEC, next year may be a learning curve. I'll give you that. But OU's going to be an SEC powerhouse. It's coming. It's coming. Also, one more thing. I hope Michael Wilbon is listening. If you want to call our coach a racist, go ahead and call him a racist. Don't him haul around about it and say, well, I think I know why he went after Deion, but I'm not going to say that. Go ahead and say it, Wilbon. Go ahead and say it if you think he's a racist. All right. I had to get that off my chest.
Somehow I missed whatever precipitated or predicated that conversation, and I am glad I did. Andy is up next. Andy is calling from Alabama.
Paul, what's going on, my friend?
How are you doing?
Doing great. Listen, you know, you talk about the dominance of Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Both coaches are just phenomenal, and you cannot argue the fact what Nick Saban's done for college football. He's pretty much changed the entire landscape across the entire country and how college football is looked at today. Kirby Smart, a better coach today, is still in the cards. But I think the difference is razor thin between both of them in both programs, and the recruiting shows that. And when the recruiting falls off for Nick Saban and he don't have a top three or top five recruiting class, then I think you could argue that. But until now, there's no way. I mean, I win one year, I lose the next year. I mean, it's razor thin right now. I mean, I think it's still up in the air. But, you do a great job.
Andy, thank you. It is. It's very rare. These are the two dominant programs. Some wonder about Saban's program versus Kirby Smart's program, but that's why we can't wait to get to the first game and start seeing what these programs are all about. If Alabama had a legitimate starting quarterback already, I don't think there would be nearly the question marks about this year. And obviously there aren't that many because Alabama was already picked to win the West today by the media. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Matt, next.
Hey, but how you doing, Mr. Paul Fowler? Sorry I didn't call you so yesterday. I really wasn't feeling well, but I'm feeling better today. Paul, I want your opinion on Bobby Petrino. What can you think he'd do for Connor Women to make him more better quarterback? Like I said, I believe Andy's guy's about 93. I think those candidates do it better. I just want to ask you that better and see what your thoughts are.
Well, Matt, I'm very high on Bobby Petrino. He's a top shelf offensive coach, and the only question is how does it all come together. How does he and Jimbo Fisher collaborate? When Fisher was sitting with us on Monday, he didn't seem remotely concerned about it. We move along. AJ is up next in Starkville.
Hey, Paul. I wanted to ask you about Mississippi State's new uniforms. I think personally that they're nice and simple, but you know, people online always have their opinions regardless of if they're trash or not.
Well, they're not trash. I thought they looked pretty good myself, and I'm not a connoisseur.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul.
Thank you. First time we've had a uniform. What do you think, Randy? You think they're good?
Fine.
That's a good line. Fine?
It's fine.
That means you haven't seen them, and it's a very non-offending answer. Tiger is in Missouri. You're on the air. Hello, Tiger.
What's up?
Hey there.
I was going to talk to you about the SEC media poll.
Okay.
Like the 20 wasted votes. There's like 8 for Vandy, a bunch for Arkansas, Auburn, all these wasted votes. What do you think the problem is there, and how would they go about fixing that?
Well, I don't think there is a problem. I ran into a guy at Media Days, and he told me he was going to vote for Vanderbilt, and I just like shrugged my shoulders, like, what difference does it make? I would not give everybody a vote. that's how I, not that I'm trying to curtail a democracy, but I think if you vote for Vanderbilt to win the SEC, it would indicate that you really don't understand college football. Eight voters voted Vanderbilt number one, and you know Vanderbilt fans can take that any way they want. I'm just spitting out the truth here. If you don't vote for Georgia, Alabama, or LSU, you probably don't understand talent. And I think it's absurd, quite frankly, that media people do that, and it's their right, but it's a whole nother story. And it's not my decision to credential people for media days, but I think it could probably be cut in half and we wouldn't miss too many people. Yeah, I mean, 10 different SEC schools got first place votes, and but that speaks more about the world of media today than it does about anything else that you cover. But there's simply no justification for picking Vanderbilt to win the SEC. I mean, it's you show that you're either being a carny barker or you're just stupid or dumb as dirt, if that's what you really believe. And by the way, I don't know any of the. I talked to the guy yesterday. I don't know who he is, but if one of you media people out there who voted Vanderbilt first in to win the SEC, you're welcome to come on and explain it. And maybe I'll retract my characterization of you. But until then, I'll stand firm. We'll take a break. More to come. More right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We'll go over this a little bit more in detail later, but the all SEC preseason came out. Georgia has 6 players on defense, 5 on offense. LSU has 3 on offense, 3 on defense. Alabama has 1, is that right? 1 on offense and 2 on defense. That may be one reason why so many people were thinking LSU would get to pick. Alabama does have a number of people, special teams, receiver, punt, kick, and the kicker. But there is certainly some, you know, at least perceptively in terms of the absolute top-line players, that there is a drop-off there. Let's continue with more phone calls. Johnny is up next. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, Paul. That's a perfect segue for my question. I got a Kevin Steele question.
Of course.
So, as an Alabama fan, and I'd like to, I'm asking you this because I feel like you have the knowledge and expertise to tell me. as an Alabama fan, you just said Alabama has two players, right, that are selected on defense for all SEC. Is that what it was?
Yeah, Turner and McKinstry.
Okay. So, I mean, Turner's really, even though he lines up on the line, he's really not, but he's more of a linebacker or an edge rusher. So it, as Will Anderson was. But my question is, as an Alabama fan, you know, Georgia had six, you just mentioned, and I feel like the problem that no one's talking about is on the defensive side of the ball. Because last year, you know, they lost two games, but they allowed the opposing, you know, Tennessee and LSU to score 50 points, whatever it was. And that was never the way it was in the past. And Alabama had opposing defensive linemen that are all in the NFL now. But it seems like about 2016-17, none of those players have either come, they haven't developed, or they've transferred, or whatever the reason may be. They just don't have that type of alpha, Carter, Georgia-type guy. And I want to know, from your knowledge, is that Pete Golding's fault? Is that going to be resolved with Kevin Steele? What's Kevin Steele's past? Was Kevin Steele the coordinator when they had those type of guys and all that defensive success? Kept teams under 20 points. So, yeah, that's what I want to ask and see what you have to say on that, because I really do feel like that's the problem.
I think you're right. I can't speak of the current class because there are five-star players in there that could turn into these type of players. But we had a guest this week that talked about some of this paradigm shift, and it's a fine line. We're talking about a player that can impact the game. And having said that, Will Anderson's position last year spoke for itself. But I wouldn't blame it all on Pete Golding. I blame Pete Golding more for the in-game calls, and Saban's part of that. But I just think the difference between Pete Golding and Kevin Steele is this, and I think it's an important difference. Kevin Steele will tell Nick Saban if he thinks he's wrong on a call, where if Kevin Steele says, you know, here's what I want to do there, and Saban says no, I think Kevin Steele will get in his face. Pete Golding wouldn't, because he was always living in fear of his job. And I think he may turn into be a good coordinator at Ole Miss, but he was not an elite coordinator. And I'm not playing stat games with you. You can do that and make a case. I'm talking about the two biggest calls of the year last year, against LSU and against Tennessee. Now, I will say that they made a great call against Texas A&M that saved them a third loss, and maybe the most difficult loss that Saban has had in a long time. But it was also a great play, which you know, you can figure out, you know, who gets credit for that. But overall, I just think Pete Golden did not have the right stuff, and I never understood why Nick Saban kept sticking by him.
Well, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, Georgia has been killing Alabama with that D-line.
You're right. If you go back to the beginning of the Saban era at Alabama, that's, I mean, from what, 2009 until about 18 or 19, I mean, you can just watch the NFL on Sunday and see those type of players playing and starting.
Exactly. And no one ever seems to talk about it, and I appreciate you acknowledging it, because to me, everybody always wants to talk about, oh, the quarterback. You know, listen, if you have a great defense, as Georgia has had, and dominate the game on both sides of the line of scrimmage, you win national championships.
You do. You're absolutely
And no one
right.
ever seems to talk about the drop-off that Alabama's had in that department.
And, Johnny, thank you. And in this conversation that we're talking about, 18, 19, 20, 21, Alabama played for a national championship, won a national championship, lost a national championship in 18. But again, we're one player can make a big difference. Two players, three players, four players. But Georgia has has done a phenomenal job, and Kirby Smart understood how Nick Saban became successful because he was a big part of it. Let's roll on. Randy is up next in Memphis. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum.
Hey there. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm the one that's got a South African wife.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I do remember that.
I hadn't talked to you in 7 weeks.
No, where have you been?
We went on a cruise last week, went to the Bahamas, had a good time. But we're still waiting for you to come down here to eat some barbecue with us. But my wife did tell me today, because we had lunch at Rum Boogie Cafe on Bill Street.
Oh, wow.
And she said, "You going to try to call in today?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "Tell Mr. Feinbaum that's where we want to come." I said, "I sure will. I'll do it.
No. I appreciate it. I have only been to Memphis once this year, and it was fast. I mean, I literally got in there and got out without seeing anything. I had to do something there, but I will make a trip back, and you two are the reason.
Hey, but a quick prediction, no big deal. I'm a big Arkansas fan. I think you already know that. Talked to you several times. I think our quarterback's probably the best quarterback in the SEC. I do, personally. I don't think we're going to win the West. I think Texas A&M is. I do love Bobby Petrino because he used to be our coach. But I think we're going to finish a strong second, but I'm scared of Mississippi State. I think they're very strong. But me and my wife love you. I'm glad to get back in. Got back off a cruise, and we'd love to see you sometime.
Well, thank you. We will make that happen throughout the year. Appreciate it. We head to the break here on a Friday afternoon. It feels like the summer's over and we're ready for the season, and we are. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, continuing here, kind of a laid-back first hour on a Friday afternoon. Great to be back here in a normal surrounding, and it's great to see our favorite rodent on the phone. Squirrel is first up.
Your favorite rodent, I like that. You know, I didn't watch a whole lot of the shows this week because I'm not, you know, into media, whether it be sports media or the crooked media that we have now passing off as media. But I did catch you and Coach Heupel's interview. Am I mistaken, or was that the first time he's been on the show since he was Tennessee coach?
Yeah, I have talked to him on other shows before, but I believe that's the first time he has sat down next to us. Yes.
Well, and it was good to see you two together. You know what I mean? And I enjoyed the interview, and you know, it seemed like y'all get along pretty good, and maybe we'll hear more in the future. And speaking of people getting along and BFFs, I like the way I-Man calls in now and is the prop guy for Jim.
Yeah. Squirrel, you're going to make me slam I-Man here, but I have to say I felt sad for I-Man yesterday.
He did it a couple times while you're gone.
Yeah,
and I feel sad for him too. But part of me is amused by it also. You know what I mean? So I don't want to discourage him.
Because Squirrel, you would agree with me, would you not? I mean, I-Man is one of the truly iconic callers in the history of the show, and part of the reason why is that he's authentic. He's not bought and paid for. He speaks his mind.
Everybody sells out, Paul.
And he came off yesterday, if I could be blunt, like a hack politician who's afraid to upset the leader of the party.
Well, I like how he comes in and he sets the tee up, and then he puts the little ball on top of it, and then he hands Jim the bat, and then he sits there and cheers for Jim while Jim hits it, and then he runs around the bases and slides it home plate. So that's my favorite. But Jim's still on this thing. I don't know what it is, and it always has fascinated me about why. I mean, I think to myself, how pathetic does your life have to be to where you're in your 70s and you're lamenting about your high school days? Things of that nature. And
I don't think that's unusual, though, because I know a lot of athletes, and you know, for most people, high school was maybe one of the great times in our lives.
It was one of the greatest times of mine. It was for me.
It was fantastic. Wish I could remember.
Yeah, I have zero regrets. I was on a great team. I have some regrets about, you know, what I did up at East Tennessee State. I could have put out a little more effort up
there.
Yeah,
I talked to one of your former coaches about that recently. It would be part of the Squirrel documentary.
Really? Man, I got to play as a true freshman, but when we had a coaching change, I took off for greener pastures, and greener pastures aren't always greener. But it just occurred to me that if Jim had earned a letter jacket back in them days, he'd still be wearing it right now in his 70s. I mean, sleeves be a little tattered, and it might have a few mustard stains on it and what have you. But it's just sad that he still has these regrets about the high school career he never had. But maybe they'll call in again today. I hope so. I love Abbott and Costello. They were two of my favorite comedians. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. Hello. Yeah, I was just trying to decide which song to play there, Old Days or Glory Days. Eric. What's that?
Happy Days.
Happy Days. Eric is up next.
Thank you, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
First-time caller, I wanted to ask you a question about Shane Beamer. I've been a longtime Virginia Tech fan and really respected all the work Frank Beamer did. And I'm wondering if you think that Shane can build a program in South Carolina, maybe steal a few recruits from Clemson, and build a SEC contender and a national championship.
Eric, most definitely. I think he has all the right stuff. You've seen signs of it. He just doesn't have the players yet. He's got some, and they are impactful. And I remain immensely impressed with him. He handles himself so well. He's won big games. He's got it both on and off the field. Thank you for the question. Thank you very, very much. Catherine is up next. Good afternoon, Catherine.
Hi, Paul.
Hey.
Are you ready for another vacation?
yeah. The Friday after media days, or Thursday and Friday, are like the night after graduation. I mean, you are just, even though I'm not, I mean, you feel hungover. You just, but you know it's going to get better in about 3 days.
Well, I'll tell you, it's amazing. It's so mind-boggling. I mean, but it was awesome, and I learned a lot. I sort of like to hear the coaches with the little personal stories that they have to tell and things. But my question is there, I know, with all this media, what would be a good magazine that we could purchase maybe for preseason predictions and the players that we need
to
Catherine,
watch?
And I don't know if there's any one specifically for SEC.
I must admit, I have not read a single preseason magazine, but I will say, as I've looked at them at the grocery store for a second, and I don't know if there's a significant difference in between one versus the other. We had Phil Steele on the other day. Lindy's has magazines. What's the other one? I like the articles I like the best are when the magazines quote people in coaches anonymously, because you get some really honest portrayals. But beyond that, I think most of the stuff is going to be the same.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm really old school, because I you know, we still take the newspaper. We're big fans of the Sentinel, had it for years.
I understand.
Mike Biondi. But I like to have something, you know.
Well, I would literally go to the grocery store and thumb through a few of them. You're not going to go wrong. But here we go, old school, Catherine. That used to be when those things came out late May, it was like a big deal because we didn't have sports on TV and radio all the time.
Right. We used to couldn't wait because the Florida Gators had a magazine that would come out, and my husband and son would be counting the days until we could go and purchase it. And, you know, and I still like to have a paper copy of the roster to see.
No. Well, players, the problem, Catherine, is these things are so fluid, though. And a lot of these magazines, back in my early days, I would write for some of them, and they needed the articles by like late April, so the second the spring game ended. That will not do justice anymore because there's still things happen after that.
Right, with the transfer portal and all. But I tell you, Paul, you just blow my mind with the mammoth of stuff that you know and the people that you know. I mean, I'm sorry that I didn't really know you a long time ago or more than, current than what I have because you are phenomenal and we appreciate everything that you do. And hats off to everybody that has something to do. I mean, ESPN is awesome. So, well, thanks, Paul, and have a great weekend.
Catherine, thank you. Great to hear a comment like that down in Orlando. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.